Let's begin, gentlemen and lady. Let's pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for the things accomplished, the rest that's been taken. I pray that you would bless this closing of the day in your presence in your house. Please, Lord, just be one of our number as we spend this time lifting up your praises and our prayers, and Father, reading and studying your word. We love you and praise you. Just thank you, Lord, for everything, for the wee nudges in the right direction, for the little revelations as we go through life. Lord, for fighting battles that we only have to turn up at and declare victory. Just thank you for all of that, Lord, and for keeping us and for watching over us. And I pray that you would this evening, and not just us, Lord, but wherever your word is open. Pray especially for Stan and the folks up in Bangor, or John Asquith and the folks in Black Creek, and for Phil Seeley and the family, church family and family, and Grace Bible, and many others around the world. Please prepare hearts and minds to preach your word and to receive it. Love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to the wee black books, first of all, this evening. Number 3. All people that on earth do dwell. We'll just remain seated.
Turn tonight to Zechariah chapter 10. Zechariah chapter 10. Ask ye of Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give him showers of rain to every one grass in the field. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the vineyards have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comforted in vain, therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. When anger was kindled against the shepherds, and they punished goats, the Lord of hosts have visited his flock, as of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every presser together, and they shall be as mighty men which tread down the enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to face them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I have not cast them off from the Lord their God, and will heal them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as free wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad, their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I will show them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. And I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead, and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. And he shall pass through the sea of affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. Amen.
Going to do any announcements this evening, just to say that they had a good clear spot of weather around about 1 o'clock for a half hour up at the Crescent Link. I think we had one long beep and quite a few thumbs up and a few short beeps with people driving on by, so we had a good time there. There's an answer to prayer, and hope it'll be an answer to prayer many more times in the future. Amen. Let's take our hymn books again. Take the wee ones this time. And if you'd like to turn to number 72 at the back of the Black and Black handbooks, we'll stand and sing God Rescue Mary Gentle. And number 72, God Rescue Mary Gentle.
Christ our Savior was born and raised by the same.
this time, 319 in the big books. 319, just closer walk. Number 19, and I just want to read maybe about 10 or 11 of these verses. John chapter 19, beginning at verse number 19, and the word of God says, "And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now, the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said, therefore, among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus, therefore, saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved. He said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And Jesus, therefore, having received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. And the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, that the body should not remain upon the cross of the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first and of the other which were crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already, and brake not his bit legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record that this record is true, and he knoweth what that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. Amen. That is our reading. I think on the subject of quid pro quo, just for a little bit this evening. Nothing too strenuous, I hope, but you pray for us, well, if you wouldn't mind, Lord.
Father, thank you for that, Lord. And thank you for our service, Lord. We have prayers, supplications, and pleas and service be accepted in your sight, Lord. We pray for everyone in this problem to be blessed, Lord, and may we pour out your spirit upon us, especially Mark, who comes to the Lord of the Gospel, Lord. Remember our land, Lord, heal it, Lord. Say so slightly, powerfully, wonderfully, through the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, and through the comforter as well, Lord. And Lord, commit people to our churches throughout this land tonight, Lord, and indeed throughout the world, Lord. Convict them of their sin, of the eternal damnation if they do not receive the Gospel, do not accept Jesus as their own and personal Savior. Say so slightly and powerfully. Pray for missionaries, provide them and keep them safe. And underneath, Lord, and pray for us and keep us, Lord. And Lord, pray for absent God, and pray for them wherever they are, and keep them safe and well, Lord. And Lord, draw them a closer walk with thee, Lord. And pray for Mark to come to the love of gospel, and may it be a blessing in our hearts, Lord, and also guide us in our lives, Lord, especially as we approach a new week, Lord. And Lord, be at our bureau of us, Lord, and guide us and protect us, Lord, fly on us, Lord, Lord, Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Amen. This is just one of the, not the versions of the crucifixion, but one of the accounts of the crucifixion of the Lord as told from the point of view of John. It's the only one that contains the verses regarding the handing over of his mother to John, the disciple, and the note in verse number 30 where he says, It is finished. The other Gospels, of course, mentioned that the Lord cried out with a loud voice, It was finished. And they don't mention the words, but just that he cried out with a loud voice. In the book of Matthew, we hear about the 3 hours plus of darkness over the land, and the cry of the Lord, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Everybody knows what that means. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? In the book of Mark, it details his execution with 2 thieves. And again, the cry about his father not having fellowship with him anymore. The temple veil being torn in two. And of course, it just mentioned that he cried out with a loud voice. It doesn't say that it is finished, but we're presuming that that's what it referred to. In the book of Luke, we have a slightly different account because that details the salvation of one of the thieves. Some of the other accounts of the Lord's crucifixion detail the way a lot of the people treated the Lord. Now bear in mind that most of these folks had probably knew someone that the Lord had healed or touched. Knew of the wild man and the maniac of Gadara that the Lord had restored to his family. The widow woman's son that was raised to life. Lazarus, many people believe because of Lazarus, I'm sure word got out. Demons being cast out, people being made whole, Jairus' daughter being brought back to life, the centurion's servant being raised to health, Peter's mother being raised to life as well, or was it his mother or not? Anyway, the stilling of the waters, the feeding of the 5,000 twice. The Bible records, I think, is it in the book of Mark, maybe it's at the end of John, that if all the things that the Lord had done were written down, the world couldn't contain them. There's more that the Lord did than what we read here, but these are the things that we need to know. And Luke details this man that was hanging on the cross, and the people were saying, if you're so great, save yourself. And even the thieves were saying the same, but they were also saying, and while you're at it, save us too. And one of them realized that this could be it and called out to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember the promise of the Lord? Verily this day you'll be with me in paradise. And those are precious promises. I'm not saying promises leveled at us, not that today you'll be with me in paradise, but someday you will be with me in paradise. And we all know that's how things ended. Or at least in the eyes of the world, that's how they ended. But 3 days later, making good on his promise, not just to lay down his life, but to take it up again, the Lord, his Father, and the Holy Spirit, each one of them had a part in raising him back to life again. And he was seen, first of all, by Mary Magdalene, probably the lowest of the low, out of whom was cast 7 devils. The same woman that cried and wept and washed his feet and dried him with the hair that broke the box of spikenard, the alabaster box full of spikenard in the Lord's head. That same Mary. And he spoke with the 2 men on the way to Emmaus. He appeared a couple of times to the disciples, even to Doubting Thomas, who was lagging a bit behind everybody else. And he forgave Peter, remember that? Remember Peter denied him 3 times and he forgave him. And then he spent a little bit of time with him. Then, in order, to prove that he'd been proven dead, because the Word of God we just read details that they checked. I'm sure they knew how to check his pulse or his heartbeat. And just to make sure that Jesus was dead, they stuck a spear up through the ribcage into the heart. And it says blood and water came out. It shows the heart failure that occurred because of the way he was crucified. His heart was broken for us. And the things that we don't see, the great spiritual burden that he took upon himself, the weight of our sins was so great that it cost him his life, that his Father, our Father, couldn't even look at him, could no longer fellowship with him, could no longer keep him company. And there was an eclipse, darkness was over the land from the 6th to the 9th hour. And he cried out at the very, very end, Father, why have you forsaken me? In other words, I did nothing wrong, but the sheer weight of our sin upon him was enough to separate him from God. And what so many people don't realize is that that really separates people from God. You are not, what's the word? You are not due any of God's promises as a lost person. The only promise that is for a lost person is that if you repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior, you will be saved. Now I know I spoke to God as a lost man. Lord, show me that you're real. I spoke to God and God answered that prayer. And the next prayer that I made to God was, God, please save me. And he did. And he's been answering many prayers ever since and working in my life. But ever since, when the Lord went alive up into the clouds in front of what? After having been seen by over 500 people. In other words, it is a legal and historical fact that Jesus Christ walked and talked and did miracles in the face of this earth. You would think, especially if you had to deal with some of the people in this world, you would think that he would be saying, Dad, put the kettle on and get me a cup of tea, butter a couple of those digestives, cut me a piece of pie, I'm going to sit down with my feet up for a bit. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that the Lord, even now, he makes intercession for his brothers and sisters, his adopted family, in the presence of God Almighty. Our Father, which is in heaven, he reviews our each and every one of our positions. And he dispatches angels to help us. And as we go about our daily lives, the Holy Spirit is our constant friend and companion and guide, our helper even. All of these things God is still doing for us. Right? At the risk of repeating myself, a lot of times whenever I stand in the pulpit, I'm thinking of ways to help people that hear these messages in their daily lives. I'm thinking of what the Bible says and how we can apply that to our daily lives to have better lives. Doesn't mean you'll get more money, although the Bible is full of examples in the Old Testament and even in the New of people coming into much power and wealth because they were faithful to God. Doesn't mean you will. Might just mean you'll be content where you're at. And you'll be joyful that you have a job to do that anyone can do. As the Lord said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. I think there are many things that even I don't do day in and day out. I don't spend all the time every day I could reading the Bible, studying the Bible, writing down notes, memorizing the Bible. I take every opportunity I can to speak to souls and just give them a wee word, something to think on, something to chew over. Give you, for example, Will and I were out tracking yesterday. And Will is a faithful union member of NPSA. He gets a little card. And he gets his McDonald's breakfast at half price. I have to pay full whack. So I was standing behind, and we were chatting, and Will was ordering his breakfast. And it was my turn, $1.99 I think it was. He gets a sausage, egg, McMuffin, and a cup of coffee. That shows you how it's seared into my mind. And I said, I'll see you over there at 25. And I said to the fella behind the counter, I said, just give me a sausage, McMuffin, and a cup of coffee. And he said, that'll be $1.99. And I said, no, it won't. That's the wrong price. I said, the cup of coffee's nearly $1.99 all by itself. Oh, he said, I thought you were getting a Nips and Eve too. I said, no, I'd be happy to take it at that, but I do owe you some money. How many people, without making a song and dance about it and turn it into a sermon, how many people would say that? I'm not saying I'm great, I'm saying that God knows. Life can be tricky. Not can be. Life is tricky. And life is full of potholes. And life is full of traps even. You got to know that people that know you're a Christian and that are not happy with it will actually go out of their way to trip you up and to knock you down. And strangers will take great delight and calling the names, beeping the horn at you, cursing and swearing at you. I'm thankful that there are some believers out there that are more than happy. One guy looked at me as he drove past his Range Rover with a thumbs up, and I thumbs up him right back again. A few people stopped and listened for a minute, and that's just all I need. It'd be better if someone turned up at church from time to time, but good for them. There's a lot of stuff going on in this world, and we can very easily be dragged down in it. And we can find ourselves up to our necks in quicksand if we're not careful. And the Lord has a book full of just about every single situation that a person is ever going to go through. That is every character that you're ever going to come across, good and bad. And it has every bit of help that you need to deal with those situations. I know as you come to church, as you listen, whoever's listening on the internet, I emphasize the Word of God. Because I firmly hold to the words of Romans chapter 1, where Paul said the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation to whomever believes. Save you for eternity, and it'll save you from so much heartache and drama right now. And it was the greatest help to me when I started out as a Christian, and so I emphasize that. I'm not here to do that tonight. The quid pro quo, and it's not even a quid pro quo, most times I'm saying, well, if you take time aside in prayer, two things happen. You get the fellowship with God, and you don't get the fellowship with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Another thing happens. You may even be able to offload your troubles and burdens to God. Or you may not even say a word, but just say, Lord, I just want to sit in your presence for a while. I want to be like Moses. I want to get a wee bit of that power, that peace, that joy, just washing over me. Just to give me a break from the world. There's so many things happen whenever you do what God says. He has been fighting for our souls, and he has been laying a foundation for his Son, and the work that he came to do, and what he's doing even now since the beginning of man. Whenever there were two people in the world, it is people's fault that there's sin in the world. There were two people, there was no pornography, there was no alcohol, there was no drink, there was no drugs, there was no violence, there was nothing like that, and yet two people managed to break God's laws, they managed to sin against God. And the very first thing that he did was take the skin of a couple of goats, kids of goats, and use them to cover Adam's and Eve's nakedness. The plan for an innocent substitute to take away your sin was set in motion from the very first people. And it was finished. Jesus said, it's finished. In the book of John, whenever he cried out, that was the last sin paid for all humanity forever. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That was done. There has been no more sacrifice for sins made since that has ever counted for anything, because Jesus paid for it all. There's no more deed that we can do that's going to make us more of a Christian. It might make us better of a Christian. But there are things that we need to do, and we're not even going to go into them. I want to talk about the things that Jesus, that our Father in heaven has done for us, has provided for us, has literally stacked up on the shelves for us to come and get whenever we want. I'm going to put my glasses on because I can't even read my wriggly, my scraggly writing. Probably the greatest was incarnating himself in flesh. Living with us for about 33 years. One of the shortest Christian ministries ever. Showed us in his deeds and his words and his authority and his power that he was God. Literally everything bowed the knee to God except us. We have to make that decision. You think about the time that he lent on his love for us and not his indignation and righteous judgment. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when they came to arrest him and the disciples were about to take the swords, and Jesus said, I could currently call 12 legions of angels. They could march across the face of the earth and kill everybody. 12 legions of angels. I'm glad he didn't do that. I'm glad he looked at us with love instead of a righteous anger. He could have done that. Imagine putting your hands on God Almighty to slap him, to arrest him. The Bible even records that God looks forward to hearing from us. You can enter with boldness into the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus Christ. I think that's Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 11. Boldly. Have you ever noticed that whenever you're in dire straits, a wee verse of scripture will float up? You go looking for it. Lord, I could really do with just a wee verse of scripture. And a wee verse of scripture will float to your attention. That's Thomas made good on by God. Have you ever noticed when you talk a thing through with friends, sometimes you get a fresh perspective on it, and you see that your problem maybe isn't as big or as dire as you thought it was, or maybe you see a solution to it? Well, God not only offers that, but he offers a peace that passes all understanding when we talk things over with him. Anyone remember those good old verses in Matthew 11? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not only did he say he would give us rest, but he would give us a reason for life. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. Imagine finding rest by obeying God. And yet all that most people can see is, oh, God wants me to do something. And people, souls don't realize the joy in doing for God. I'm not talking about us here now. Because we all have our good days and bad days. As many as the time I came down to visit, to clean the church. And I dreaded the thought. Part of me dreaded the thought. But you see, as soon as I came down and started cleaning and maybe put the music on or whistling a tune, I had the greatest time in God's house and God's presence, cleaning the floors and cleaning the toilets. And it gives us confirmation over and over that this book, even the book that we're reading tonight, it's not here because the Roman Catholic Church is a Christian church, let me tell you. Bible is here because people that love the Lord gave their lives to produce the Bible. I think it was 50 men of God, I can't remember the denomination, that worked for years to translate the King James Bible from the Textus Receptus. They made it easy to be saved. They helped us to see a loving God, a loving and a giving and a forgiving God. They make it easy to be baptized. They show us that it was only the confession, as the Bible says in Romans 10, the confession with our lips and the belief in our heart that saves your souls. It's not a lifetime of service. That's what many of these churches would have you believe. And he confirms the scriptures over and over, even in prophecies that are coming true today. And all of these things are for us because we need them. I remember being a lost man. I was 23 years old when I got saved. I remember what it was like to wander around with this want deep in my heart, looking for something you could never quite be sure what it was. And bear in mind, I was raised in the Presbyterian Church. And I was in church every year until I left for school and for university. And I remember the thrill that I had in staying in the Union Theological College and skipping off church because I stayed over the weekend. And I thought this was great. I missed the food, mind you, the next week, but I thought it was great. I would hate to go back to the possibility of throwing myself out of a first-story window thinking I was dreaming. I would hate to go back to opening my eyes and seeing something that looked like a blood clot the size of a dog with two red eyes looking at me on the top of a cupboard. I would hate to go back to that, to the never knowing and the always wondering. I am glad I have God as my Savior. I'm glad I have a God in heaven that actually enjoys listening to me and that I enjoy listening to. I'm glad for the comfort and assurance and wisdom and knowledge and education and provision that the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son provide for me every single day. I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't provide those things in the hope that he will get something valuable from us. Because we have nothing that God wants except our souls. And he's not a vampire. He doesn't keep them in bottles and par heaven with the souls in heaven. He is a great God who will not be lessened any or made greater depending on whether we accept or reject him. But he is a great God that wants to make us greater. He wants to take away our worries and our fears. He wants to take away our uncertainty and our emptiness in our lives. He wants to take away our sorrow and the yearning that lost souls have and replace it with his joy. He wants to take away our ignorance and replace it with understanding and wisdom. And all those things he does for us because he loves us. I don't know of one man on the face of this earth that has ever done something that God couldn't do without. It's a little bit like a child obeying their mummy or daddy for the first time and then continuing to. Mummy and daddy don't need the child to do those things, but they know that as that child grows, they are going to have to know how to do these things for their own sake when they stand on their own feet. It's not a give and take relationship. Well, it is actually. God gives and we take. And if it was anywhere else or any other relationship, I think we would be embarrassed. We would honestly be embarrassed with the amount of giving that he sends our way compared to the amount of giving that we send his way. But he doesn't ask. He doesn't ask us for much. He just asks us to tell people. You know the number of times that the Lord healed men and even women. And they wanted to come with him. They wanted to spend time in his presence. The one that always sticks in mind is the maniac of Gadara. He says, take me with you. I want to go with you. You know what Jesus said? You go and tell everybody about me. Tell everybody what I did for you. Maybe somebody else will get saved too. God loves us so much. And he gives us so much. And all we have to do is tell him thank you. Pick it up, whether it's with our hands or with our hearts, and go on and do what he asks us to do. I know people seek completement in their lives in many things. Lands or houses, wealth, position, power. People do stuff. A couple of verses that say, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. It's not all about stuff. Somebody said, home is where the heart is. It's all about taking as many. You know the old devil's the worst of losers. He wants to take as many people with him to hell. Well, we're the best of winners. We should be wanting to take as many people with us to heaven as possible. And we should look for opportunities to do that. But even as we do that, God will bring the words and the boldness and the wisdom and all that stuff. It will never be a quid pro quo. But even at that, the Word of God says that he will reward us for everything that we do. Now, over the past few years, sometimes when eternity has just burst a little bit close, a bit too close for comfort, I have sometimes wondered what has happened with the past 25 years. Where did the last 25 years go? I never made a fortune. I don't think I wrote very many more programs. Built a few computers. I've done really nothing of note as far as the world is concerned. But when God called me, I answered and I did what he said. And when I think back on those 25 years, what satisfies me, and I would hope would satisfy you too, is what we've done for God. The people whose lives had an opportunity by you putting that tract in through a letterbox or pressing it into a hand or even bending their ear when they're out and about. Those are the things that get rewards. Those are the things that help you grow. And those are the things that God has sent our way for our sake. You were never outgiven. And it's not about giving. When you love people, you do for them. And it's not a competition. It's not about how much you have done compared to how much God has done. That's not what it's about. There will come a day when we reach the end of this road. And the only thing that's important will be whether you're saved and what you did with everything that God gave you. I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's scary. Even now, whenever I stand behind the pulpit, there's always that little bit of, this is going to be interesting. Or whenever I stand out in the street and go round the doors, there'll be the possibility that someone will say, well, what are you doing? And I have it drilled into my head. From Bethel Baptist Church, we're doing a gospel outreach. There's a couple of wee leaflets for you. Come out and visit us. That's what I say. And if it goes on a bit further, so be it. There'll come a day when we get to the end of our lives, and what will satisfy, what will comfort, and what will keep your head screwed on is knowing that you did the right thing and that your life could not have been better spent any other way. Favorite verse of mine is Romans 8:28. It says, we know everything works out for the best for folks that are saved and serving Jesus. That's what I would like for folks. Do what you can for the Lord. He did everything that he could for us. And his everything is that much, much greater than our everything. God bless you. Thank you for your good time and your attention. We are finished. Now, we have one hymn, I think, left to sing. We're in the big books. At least I thought we had one hymn left to sing.
I think it's 422.
We're going to do 422, is that it?
I think.
Thou didst leave thy throne. All right. Didn't I sing that this morning? No. 422. Let's stand as we sing. Thou didst leave thy throne. Thy persons.
But in Bethlehem's home was I found.
pray and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time set aside. Thank you for your word, for you, Lord, for your Son, for the Holy Spirit, for brothers and sisters, for this little shelter and pouch, Lord, for all your many helps and promises. Please see us safely home, back to the next appointed time. I just love you and thank you. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.